All right, folks, let's go ahead and get started. It means so much that you have stuck around. I know you haven't eaten lunch yet, and you've got things going on today. So thank you for joining us for this town hall. And we will do our best to keep things brief. And let me pray for us one more time as we kick things off. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for a great morning of worship. And as the sun is shining in, Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful day that you have set apart for worship, set apart for you. We pray that you would continue to speak to us even now, Lord. Minister to us. Lord, we ask that you would stir within our hearts an even greater desire to reach into this part of our city with the gospel and your love, Lord Jesus. We look to you now to guide us and lead us during this time of transition with a great spirit of unity and joy. We commit this time to you now, and we do so in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I love driving to this campus every morning. And my favorite part of the drive is this high point back over here on Evans Road. As you can look down over Bush Middle School, and you can see all of the homes and all of the apartments. And when I see all of those homes and all of those apartments and all those businesses, I see people that still need to hear the gospel. I see a great harvest field of those who need to come to faith in Christ. You know, when we first planted this campus 5 years ago, that was at the heart of the vision, to reach people in this part of our city with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to make disciples right where God has providentially placed you and your neighborhoods, your workplace, your schools. You know, we're just a mile and a half away from the Mormon Temple over here on the hill, and just a few miles east of an Islamic center on the other side of 281 on Evans Road. And I remind you of these things to bring us back to the why behind the start of this campus. It was a missional effort to expand the reach of the gospel in Stone Oak and beyond to the glory of God. Here at Wayside, we are a community that is rooted in the Word, reaching out to the world and reproducing Christ's followers. And that is not changing. And for these last 5 years, Wayside has been one church on two campuses, a multi-campus model. But in September, the elders approved the decision to transition to a multi-congregation model. What does that mean? Well, we're still one church, and we are now excited for this opportunity to develop our own unique identity as a congregation right here in the Stone Oak community. And a big step toward that, establishing that identity, is moving to live preaching every Sunday here at Stone Oak. And at the end of December, we will make that transition to live preaching, led by me and a team of others from this campus, in order to more directly communicate our specific vision to make disciples right here in this area of our city, and to also move us all to a greater sense of ownership of the vision and the ministry. Pastor Roger is going to speak to us in just a moment to other steps involved in this transition. And I'm so thankful that he's here. And I want to encourage all of us to be in prayer. I know you have been. Be in prayer for this exciting new season. But there's also a bittersweet aspect to this transition. Pastor Cameron Contristano, the pastor of our student ministries, has also been serving as the pastor of our college ministries at the 410 campus. And at the end of December, Pastor Cameron will be transitioning to the 410 campus to not only continue leading the college ministry there, but also the singles ministry as well. So although Cameron and Becca and their two boys, Noah and Judah, are not leaving Wayside, they are leaving this campus. And we will miss seeing them every Sunday. And Cameron, we are so grateful to you for the ministry impact that you have had with our students and our families and the worship ministry with Becca and in our lives personally. So can we show our thanks to the Lord for Cameron and Becca? And we plan to honor the Contristanos with a lunch on the grounds on Sunday, December the 5th. And we pray you will join us for that time as we thank them and we celebrate them. So now stepping into the role of pastor of student ministries is Doug Hurt. We love Doug. That's a good response. We love Doug. We love Lori. We love their four kids. Along with leading worship, Doug has also served alongside Cameron in several student ministry contexts. Doug is great with students. He is gifted in teaching. He is a teacher at the Geneva School in Burney. And Doug is currently going through the official ordination process at Wayside to become an official pastor. He just recently completed his seminary degree. And so we look forward to having Doug partner with our families in the discipleship of our young people here at this congregation. And he will take that baton from Cameron over the next few months. Since Doug will now be with our students, we are currently looking at a candidate to fill the worship leader position. So please be in prayer as we seek just the right person to lead us in worship. Michelle Jenkins will continue serving in her role as the wonderful director of our kids' ministries. Ben Strizu is still our director of media. I told them they can't leave. And we just praise God for both of them as they weekly serve the Lord and all of us with great excellence. We are now blessed to have our senior pastor, Roger Poupart, come on up and share with us some additional aspects to this transition, and then we will have a time of questions and answers. Come on up, my friend.
Well, thank you, Pastor Will. You know, one of the key parts of Wayside, as you've probably realized over the years, is multiplication. Our vision statement of reproducing Christ's followers isn't just for the congregation, it's for what we do as a staff. And part of what we do is raise up and develop leaders. You guys have seen Pastor Jason up, you know, as the second kind of teaching associate. And in all this transition that's happening, there's transition happening over at the 410 campus. Walt McCord, who's been our associate pastor, his wife Brenda is our women's director. Brenda is continuing with Wayside, but Walt is moving into an area outside of Wayside. His background has been in donor development for ministries at Moody Bible Institute, a center for Christian studies in Houston, at Dallas Seminary before that. So Walt is leaving our staff officially as the associate pastor. He'll continue at Wayside. His wife, as I said, Brenda, will continue to be our women's director, but that opens up a key role on the executive team. Well, Jason Upmore, who is our singles pastor, is moving into that role as the associate pastor. So that's happening, which is one of the reasons Cameron's coming over to fill the role with Jason. And we love developing and growing leaders like Pastor Will. Will has been on our team now over 9 years. He's been here at Stone Oak for 5 years. And so he's been your shepherd, your campus pastor. And he's going to be moving into the role of more of what a senior pastor would look like in a congregational aspect with the teaching responsibilities as well. We've launched others, Michael Loudermilk. Many of you remember Michael. He went to Little Rock. Before that, we had Icky Soma, who's pastoring in Houston, and we also had Don Yates, who's pastoring up in the Chicago area. So we love to grow and release ministries, and the same with campuses. Wayside's goal is not to become a giga church, and that's church speak for, you know, a really, really big church. We're what's called a mega church, and there's a step above that called a giga church. And that's not our goal. We have planted churches in this city, in this area, throughout our history. If you go to the north, Northeast Bible Church in Garden Ridge, that's a wayside plant. If you go to Hillside Fellowship further north, that's a plant. Bernie Bible is a plant. Communion Chapel is a plant of Wayside Chapel. El Camino is a plant of Wayside Chapel. New Song is a church that we've planted out. And on this slide, you'll see the last church that we planted out was Vista Community Church. Some of you may remember this. James Mendoza was on our team for about 14 years ago. And this is down by Castroville. When we launched, we were trying to look at where some areas of our city that needed to be served. And about 14 years ago, we planted down by SeaWorld. And as we've planted these churches over the years, we've seen kind of what happens in the cycle and the struggles the congregations go through to try to get established. And Vista, as you see now, they have a property, a building. They've been, you know, a vibrant church now for over a decade. But often when you plant a church, it grows along, it struggles for years. And one of the hardest things to really develop a church planting strategy, strategist, a pastor who does that, has to have a multiplicity of gifts. And sometimes they're not as strong in the pulpit as they are in the other areas that are needed. So about 5 years ago, as we were looking at this part of the city, and we were looking at the strategic outreach that needed to happen with the Mormon community up here, the Islamic Center over here, and we said, how do we reach into this part of the city? This was the vision for planning Wayside Stone Oak. And rather than just planning a church out, what we said is, how can we set this congregation up for a greater chance of success? Because a large number of church plants do not make it. And so one of the things we did was what was called a multi-site model, which is what you've had. The preaching has been coming in through the 410 campus, but everything else has been live. Now we're moving to what's called a multi-congregational model, where you're continuing to be a part of Wayside, but you will have a live teaching pastor here. That's, again, the difference between a multi-site and a multi-congregational model. And so this is the next step in the vision of what this congregation should be out here in the Stone Oak area, ultimately with the possibility of becoming an independent church, just like Vista Community Church would be. And so as we talk about moving to this next step, one of the ways we planted Vista is we went on a kind of a stair step to independence. And we had James on our staff for over a year. We had James gather a congregation out of the 410 campus, and we sent them out. In the first year, we supported the congregation at 100% of all their expenses as they were getting established. The next year, we went to 70%, and the last year was 30%, and then they were on their own. And so right now, what we've been doing is supporting the Wayside Stone Oak congregation. You've seen it's a combined budget, and we've supported any shortfalls at 100%. And as we're launching Wayside Stone Oak into this next step of independence, we're going to continue to do that. So the current budget year, any shortfall that will occur, we will cover at 100%. And then the next, we're not quite ready for that slide. People want to look at numbers, I know. They're going to quit listening to what I'm saying. The next year, we will cover any potential shortfall at 70%, and then the last year at 30%. So now let's look at the numbers. When you look at this as last year's budget, you can see year of to-date operations, donations, expenses. The one you want to focus on is right here, kind of, if you want the big macro number, you can see last year, year-to-date operational shortfall of giving. We can track the giving through the Stone Oak campus. The expenses of the Stone Oak campus exceeded the giving by $71,274. Or if you look over at the yellow block, you can see that the overall giving was 11.4% of the overall church budget, but the expenses were 17.6%. And this has been the history of Stone Oak over 5 years, even pre-COVID. You can look at those numbers and say, well, you know, it's been a tough year for everybody. But as we look year over year, Stone Oak has exceeded, expenses have exceeded giving year after year here at Stone Oak. And part of what we would like to have seen already is Stone Oak to be at two full services. And we believe when you look at the demographics surrounding this area, when you look at the folks that are here, there is more than that ability. We have overstaffed Stone Oak over the years in anticipation of the growth, but the growth has not come as we would like to see. And so some of what that means as we look to the future is Stone Oak will either need to grow or the team here will need to right size to the size of the congregation. And so those are things we'll talk a little bit more about. If you look at our current year's numbers, it's the same thing you see year to date. There's about a $25,000, almost $26,000 shortfall. So total giving is around 11% and total expenses are over 20% of the budget. So one of the problems with Stone Oak size, you have almost a 20-acre campus here, great facilities. This is a property that can support many more people than are currently here. You know, as we look at the vision for growth here at Stone Oak, this back wall can be removed and we can expand this sanctuary and on and on. So again, long term, we have a great vision for this property and we want to see Stone Oak grow and thrive. But the size of Stone Oak right now is a very vibrant congregation. The average church in America is around 100 people. If you're used to being in large churches, you don't understand that, but 80% or more of churches in America are in the 100 to about 160 range. And Stone Oak is larger than that. Not everybody's here on the same Sunday, and with COVID, we know people are staying home, have not all fully returned. We're seeing that at the 410 campus as well. We still have over 300 people every Sunday. We see the unique IPs logging in to worship online at home. We want people to come back. So if you have seen some of your friends not return yet, call them and say, hey, we miss you. It's safe to come back. Because church is not just about getting the teaching online. It's about the community, the encouraging, the strengthening, the serving, all the things that go with the body. So as you look at these numbers, again, what I want you to hear, we're not saying sink or swim like this. We're saying that Wayside is going to continue to support the ministries of this church in 100% this coming year. And what that means is whatever giving is coming through, that goes toward that. Obviously, we can't afford almost $1 million budget if we were to remove all of the giving of Stone Oak. So whatever Stone Oak gives, now if you exceed your budget, that money will be escrowed in a reserve account for the future because you'll have facility repairs. We just had to replace a 50-gallon industrial water heater out here. That was over $10,000. We had another AC unit that had to be repaired and replaced. And so there are capital expenses that go with the property. So any giving above that budgeted amount will be escrowed for the future to have an emergency reserve fund for Stone Oak. You can go to the next slide. Now, when I talk about the budget of Stone Oak, these are things that are not reflected in those numbers you just saw. Mission support, the second largest budget item in our overall church budget is missions. There is no mission amount that is being debited toward the Stone Oak budget. That's personnel costs, facilities to actually run this campus. Same thing, support. When we talk about being one church with two locations, there are salaries that Stone Oak is not paying. Like Britt, our facilities director, he oversees the maintenance and the running of the property. That's not being debited to the Stone Oak account. Kevin Hammond, our finance director, who keeps the books, that's not debited to the Stone Oak budget. Our men's pastor, Stephen Lay, that's not charged to Stone Oak. Brenda McCord, our women's, is not. Haley Mellendorf, our student ministries assistant that supports the student team here as well, that's not debited toward the Stone Oak budget. So when you say, what's the advantage of being one church, two locations, there are still a lot of services that are being provided for the congregation here that Will and his team are not having to carry. Some of the mortgage cost. Purchasing this property was over $4 million 5 years ago, and then we put another roughly $750,000 in improvements into this property. So you've got about a $5 million campus. We borrowed $2,250,000 5 years ago for the campus. That in the overall Stone Oak budget, there's about $132,000 a year mortgage. We believe that'll be paid off in the next 4 years. At our current rate, we actually believe it'll be paid off in hopefully 2.5 years. But as you look at that, when I say some of the mortgage costs are not debited toward the Stone Oak budget, that's the case as well. There's $42,000 the last 2 years that was just the principal and interest payments that were made that were not part of the Stone Oak budget. And then we've been putting over $100,000 a year toward prepaying that loan as well from the 410 budget, some of the surplus you saw earlier. So in terms of the budget, the remaining mortgage balance as of this past week was $521,082 on this property. The next slide shows the yearly mortgage commitment is $131,575. $114,000 of that is principal payment. So when you look at that $500,000 left on the mortgage, like I said, within 4 years, you can see that being paid off at without any additional above and beyond payments. Some of you are gifting toward that. Others at the 410 campus are gifting toward that to retire that loan. So once that is removed, that will help some of the overall budget cost as well for Stone Oak. Now, if you were not on this property, if you were renting a school, if you were meeting in a hotel, if you had a different campus, you're going to have expenses associated with that anyway. So as you look to the future of an independent church, those are things that have to be factored in a budget as well. I think that's the last slide I had with numbers, right, Ben? Okay. So let me stop talking here and see what questions y'all have about the finance side of Cameron's got a mic, so we can carry that around, or any of the other questions you may have. No questions. Okay.
Yes, sir. I just want to make sure that my giving actually goes to this campus.
Yes.
And when I sign up online, I don't know that there's a button that actually says I'm a Stone Oak giver.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way we can adjust that to make sure that the accounting is clear?
Yes. So absolutely. Two things happen. Will Davis knows who the Stone Oak congregation is. And so we have a system called Fellowship One, and people are designated by their campus. So you should be designated. We'll certainly do that. Second of all, we are amending the way that the system is set up for that very thing. You'll be able to go in and designate Stone Oak in your giving.
Starting today, if you go to give online and there's a drop-down menu, it'll say General Fund 410, General Fund Stone Oak.
But you can check with Kevin Hammond. If you're somebody like my family, we're set up for recurrent giving online. You can certainly contact Kevin Hammond and say, I just want to make sure that my family's giving is designated Stone Oak. Okay. It's a great question. Others over here.
You mentioned that Jason was going to be moving out of one area into another. What about the missions area? Is he going to be covering that, or who will be covering missions?
Yes, so thank you, Marilyn. Jason will continue to oversee our missions as well. One of the areas of responsibility that Walt McCord had was overseeing our Sunday studies or our adult Bible fellowships and our small groups. We are actually bringing on a new community pastor who will be overseeing that. So Jason will be giving up oversight of the singles ministry, which Cameron will take on along with the college ministry, the Doulos and the Momentum ministries. Jason will retain missions. He'll step into some oversight of the personnel side, as well as learning more about the budgeting. You know, as I look to the future and what does God have planned, the Constitution says that the congregation calls the senior pastor. I don't, having just listened to Jason talk about Gideon, I don't appoint my son or my successor to be the next senior pastor. I would love to see somebody like Jason be the man who replaces me. And so part of that is looking to develop the last things that he needs to be in that senior leadership role. And so that's why he's moving into that role, to give him kind of the last areas that he maybe lacks some experience in. And so we'll be moving. He's going to retain missions, though, because that's a love and passion of his, and he's doing a great job in that area. Okay. Other questions over here?
Thank you. So as far as leadership of the church as a whole, I mean, I assume that you're still staying on as the senior leader of the two campuses, and then is it still the same elder board between
yes.
the two campuses? Okay, and are we going to be, since we're moving into this model where we are separating out, are we going to be having more town halls specific to the Stone Oak campus, or are they still going to be kind of combined with decision-making and well, I guess just decision-making.
Sure. Those are great set of questions, so let me start at the top. I'm not going anywhere unless y'all know something I don't. I'm when I talk about the future, I'm not planning on stepping away anytime soon, but I do have to look, always being, you know, developing the future. One of our elders right here is Franklin, and he is part of Stone Oak. He and Sandy have been a part of this, part of our body for the entirety of its planting. And so when you talk about what does an elder board do, sometimes people think an elder board is kind of an operational, directional side of the church. That's not what the biblical definition of elders is. Elders are the spiritual overseers. They are the ones who are in charge of the doctrine. They are the ones who are in charge of congregational health. We pray for those who are sick. We are those shepherds who step in some crisis scenarios. So being one church with two locations doesn't mean that Stone Oak needs a separate elder board, because the Constitution remains the same, the bylaws remain the same, so the spiritual oversight of the church remains as it is. If the elders were operational or managerial, then you would need a separate board as you move toward that. Now, if one day the congregation here at Stone Oak says, you know, we want to become Evans Road Bible Church, you can't use the name Stone Oak Bible Church because that church has already been planted out from our church at Northeast. One of our granddaughter churches is Stone Oak Bible Church, which is already established. So if they wanted to give you and merge and give you their name, that could happen. But what I'm saying is, if you say we want to move out and no longer be Wayside Chapel Stone Oak, that is certainly something that we will look to the future talking about, and then you would need your own elder board. So that was the first question. What was the second part of your question?
If we would be still doing kind of decision-making and town halls combined, or if we would be moving into separate campuses doing those.
Yeah, so there are going to be things that are going to be separate. One of the things we do every year is we plan on an 18-month cycle, and we bring all of our pastors and directors together for that, including the Stone Oak team. And we will sit down and map out 18 months at a time, what does the ministry calendar look like? And the Stone Oak team is there. And part of that being one church, two locations, is continuing to do some areas of ministry together. If you are parents with students, You have the advantage of like EchoCon that's coming up, where your students can be part of a larger group when we do summer mission trips, when we do various things. So the planning of the calendars have to coordinate, because what Stone Oak is doing has to match 410 in terms of those type events. Same thing, the men's and women's events that are provided. While Stone Oak is not paying those portions of the salary, they're benefiting from some of the planning of those studies and various things. So operationally, we will still be together and planning. Now, directionally, as Will mentioned earlier, the teaching series, things like that, that he is doing with his team here, will certainly have a unique aspect specific to this congregation and this part of the community. In terms of whether or not we're preaching the same series, that will continue as well. That's part of that whether you're multi-site or multi-congregational, if you're trying to do two different series, if we're in Judges and you move into Philippians at Stone Oak, well, our communications director, Heather Stagg, who again will be supporting Stone Oak, it's difficult for her to promote two different series unless Stone Oak Wayside has its own website. And again, as you're moving into that separate orbit of independence, those are things that can happen. But right now, we've already discussed this with Will and gone through that. We're going to continue to teach the same series. We'll get together and we'll just cover passages. What is the central propositional statement, that main point? But everything else is going to be unique to the Stone Oak teaching team out here. Did I answer enough, or is there more you'd like to know? They're great questions. Okay. Others? Ian over here.
You talked about the Wayside covering the budget for year one, but what about years two or three, or as that goes on? And then secondly, I'm just kind of curious about the background of what prompted this recently, or is this always part of the vision at year five?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so two parts of the question. Year two, we will pay up to 70% of the budget. Year three will be up to 30% of the budget. So if there are shortfalls there, then just as any of us have to do, you'll have to adjust. Right now, Stone Oak is staffed with four full-time staff positions plus a stipend worship team. A church this size, realistically, would be around 1.5 to 2 full-time. So, you know, there's enough time to grow the body, and this is where Will's going to come up and talk to you about the need for each one to be reaching one, the need for this congregation to really start to engage and own the vision even more than you have, because if you don't grow, we're not closing the doors, but the budget will have to be supported by the giving at Stone Oak. And what that means is the personnel costs will have to right size to the budget. So whether or not positions are moved to a part-time or eliminated, or salaries are adjusted down, or whatever expenses, some of that is even having a lawn crew that comes and does the maintenance. The two previous churches I pastored, we actually had volunteer lawn teams who would come in. And so those are things that you can eliminate some cost to the budget by some of you saying, hey, I love gardening, I love working in the yard. You can come out and be part of a team, and that can eliminate that cost in the budget going forward. So those are things that, again, directionally, that's going to be for Will and the team here in conjunction with the congregation to work on. How do y'all want to adjust the budget moving forward? So going back to the earlier question about the church and the planning, Will already presents the Stone Oak budget to the board, and that is what is approved and part of. You know, I have the budget here, and the last six pages of about a 45-page budget are Stone Oaks. And so we already have all of the expenses broken out as they are. And so you can go in and adjust those categories, and that comes from Will and his team already. And that will be happening again going forward, just with a little more urgency and sharpening the pencil, knowing that if there's a shortfall, then there's going to have to be some adjustments in how expenses are you know, incurred. As part of your last part of your question was, has this always been the vision? And the answer to that is yes. It's never been an either or. It's always been a both and. We could have continued in a multi-site model, or we could have moved to a multi-congregational. As I mentioned, the philosophy in the past has been, you know, launching these churches out, and we wanted to set Stone Oak up for a faster glide slope to success. And so that's why we did what we did this way. Other questions? It's a good question to give you the exact number. So the current budget is $715,644. And again, that doesn't include a lot of those additional expenses. But in terms of the actual facility cost, utilities, maintenance, Stone Oak designated personnel, it is, you know, $715,000 roughly. Exactly. And that's exactly what it is. It's prayerfully being a part of what's happening. Again, Stone Oak is very close in terms of that. You saw a $91,000 shortfall. Here's the good news. This facility is in top-notch condition. You all know we just replaced all the flooring in the children's building. Last year, we replaced three major HVAC units out here. So barring a lightning strike, you're going to have that for at least South Texas, 10 years at least, maybe 15 or 20 if God's really gracious with some of the units. We have just replaced the water heater, which again will last for a long time. You've got a fire suppression system we just repaired out here. And so this campus is really there's no deferred maintenance on the property is what I'm telling you. It's not like we're setting Stone Oak loose and you guys have got a potential $1 million worth of maintenance you've got to catch up on. This facility is in top-notch condition. We could do a little painting out here. Beyond that, there are no leaks. There are no issues in the roof or other areas. So the black topping is in good shape out in the parking lot. You don't have a bunch of potholes or things. I told Will I saw a little chip area out there that we'll fill in the concrete. Beyond that, this property's in great shape. Okay. Yes.
Roger, I appreciate your time coming out. So I'm going to ask two questions. One's for my wife who could not be here.
Okay.
So I'll ask hers first, just out of respect. She does a lot with VBS and things like that. So I know the question is, points are y'all looking for right now? We were told they were still going to be blended and we're going to be using them together. But is there something like a number of kids or something like that or staff that you're looking for to be able to go, hey, we're going to start bringing that stuff on our own? Or is that even in the plan? Or so just if you can talk a little bit about those kind of things.
Sure. Yeah, I'll start with that. So again, one church, two locations means exactly that. Stone Oak will continue to be a part of the VBS. Now, if the Stone Oak congregation said, we want to do our own VBS, that's been open previously, but that has not been a desire. Stone Oak has done things to augment that, like fam camp and things that you've done out here, which have kind of been many. There's been trunk or treat. There's been things out here that have been unique to Stone Oak. So that's up to Will and Michelle to cast that vision. If you feel like, hey, we would be better served and we want to reach into the apartments right next door, we're going to do a VBS here, absolutely you can do that. But we also want families that say, hey, we love the large size and the excitement and the resources that are there. We want to continue to provide that for both.
Okay. And then my question, this may actually be more for Will. As far as the budget and stuff, I appreciate the overall, like, what is the goal that we're looking for?
Mm-hmm.
And most of these things can probably get from the budget going, what is the Stone Oaks portion of all these things? But I know a lot of us, when we were at 410, you know, either weekly or monthly, we were getting those things in the bulletins going, what the budget of giving was and where our shortfalls and things. So we kind of had an idea where we were.
Mm-hmm.
And for the breakdown for Stone Oak, if maybe we saw that even monthly or something, because at least for me, a lot of times I looked at it and it was like, hey, you know, we're doing good because we just saw the bigger picture between the two and it wasn't broken down. So honestly, you know, I've talked to a couple people, Will and stuff, to kind of know where we are. But these are, for some people, maybe the first time we're going, hey, we have a shortfall, mm-hmm. and what those exact numbers were. So, again, give out of your heart and things like that. But sometimes if people know that there's a certain need,
right?
If they're looking at going, hey, I may have a little bit of extra money here or there. Do I give it to here or do I give it to here? Well, this mm-hmm. place seems like they're good. Mm-hmm. It may go over here. So maybe some of those, like, monthly kind of keep us up to date, especially since we know we are short now,
right?
To get us there. And again, then maybe that may be more for Will to.
Sure. To well, I can answer that for Will. But yep. going forward, we will get something called a weekly report. So he knows every single week how much is coming in, how much is going out, where we are. All of the executive team gets that. Will is part of that. So he has that information. I would caution you against saying each week, how are we doing? Because you can't get a good data point week to week. You know, the first Sunday of every month, we have some people who are paid once a month. And so that may be the largest offering. And if you're looking at, week two, it was really low. We're in trouble. And then the end of the month, you're like, ooh, we're feeling better. Oh, we're down. You know, you need to kind of look more. We track things weekly. We track things quarterly. We track things year over year. So we know all those numbers. Certainly, it would be great for Will to communicate with the congregation on a monthly basis. Here's how we're doing. But I think anything less than a month at a time would be too much information and would give you false data. You can add to that, Will.
I think that's great, just to communicate that monthly. I mean, I appreciate the transparency and the honesty that Wayside has in these areas. I mean, we see it every year in our town hall meetings. And so for me to communicate that monthly, I would love to be able to do that as you all prayerfully give.
The other thing I'll say to that is people don't give to a need. They give to a vision. I found that in almost 30 years of being a senior pastor. Yeah, you can make an appeal when things are short and people will give short term. I saw the ultimate cheese factor when I was pastoring in Iowa, and we would have winter storms that would, you know, keep church from meeting for a week or two. And one Sunday, the chairman of the deacon board said, it's catch-up Sunday. And I said, what do you mean it's catch-up Sunday? And he says, well, we've got to make up for the 2 weeks that we missed. And he literally put a bottle of ketchup on the pulpit and said, it's catch-up Sunday. And we're not doing that ever again. So we don't want to do that. Again, what I want to encourage this congregation with, and I love seeing, I haven't seen some of y'all in almost 2 years with COVID, so I know you see me periodically up here, but it's wonderful not only to see familiar faces, but also new faces. And what I want to encourage you with is catching the vision for who Wayside Stone Oak is. You know, we are a community. We create a community to reach the community. Wayside Chapel is a community rooted in the Word. That's not going to change. One of the things I told Will as he takes the lead in the teaching team out here is we will continue to be a expository teaching Bible church because Wayside's name is on the sign. And if you ever this congregation says we want to move from that, then we're going to change the name. We're going to, you know, change the arrangement. So we are rooted in the Word, and that's a dual meaning. We want people to have a personal relationship with the living Word, Jesus Christ. They have to come to faith and know Him as their Savior, and then they need to be in an abiding relationship in the written Word of God, growing. And so as you are growing, that leads you into the next part. We're rooted in the Word, reaching out to the world, and that's not just overseas. That's across the street. That's to the student in the desk next to you at school. We're an Acts 1:8 model of missions. We start locally. We go globally. So missions isn't just overseas. It's across the street. And then we're reproducing Christ followers. And if you have that vision, the number one way that people come to a church is through a personal invitation. And so each one of you knows somebody, a neighbor, a friend, a coworker who needs the Lord, who needs to be in a good Bible teaching church. And Pastor Will and his team are going to do a great job continuing to teach the Word. So invite your friends. If you love Stone Oak, if you love this community, not just the community around you, but the community you have here, then it is going to be more personal ownership to continue forward as is. Because if Stone Oak does not grow and does not, begin to reach out in greater ways, well, then there is going to have to be some right-sizing of the budget. That may mean some loss of some staff positions. It may mean some changes in the way you do ministry. So everybody here has some personal ownership going forward, as you already have. Stone Oak would not be the vibrant body it is at year five if it wasn't for everybody who's here. So I want you to hear that. This is a celebration. This is an opportunity to move to that next level. There are a lot of churches that don't make 5 years, and this is a vibrant body at year five in spite of COVID and everything else. So we want to celebrate that. Another question with Denise.
Thanks. So I just want to encourage all of us to be praying for Will, because I just think it's such a big change to go from, you know, preaching a couple times a year to having to preach every Sunday. So I think we need to be in prayer for Will. And then I just want to know more about that teaching. Like, will there ever be other teachers coming in to kind of give him a break or just to give us more perspective? Just more about the teaching on this campus.
Yes, yeah. The preaching team will consist of me, and I've been talking to Doug Hurt. I've been talking to Steve Ramser. He was here a little while ago. Gifted teachers, gifted communicators. And so it'll be primarily me, but I want to work in others as well. I mean, you know, occasionally we may have somebody from 410, but we want it to be primarily Stone Oak folks so we can very distinctively communicate to you where you are and challenge you to reach your neighbor for Christ. And so all of that will come forth in our teaching here. But thank you for the prayers. I'm very excited. The question was, am I excited? I'm very excited. And like Roger said, this is an opportunity. I mean, that's the phrase that keeps coming back to me. What a great opportunity we've been given. And so we should all be excited. We should all be encouraged. And we have this mission field. And the harvest is ripe. And we're the workers. And so we're going to equip you in evangelism and discipleship, and then launch you out to go and reach your neighbor for Christ right where God has providentially placed you. And then we're going to come back in here to worship, to get recharged and refreshed and to celebrate what God is doing in our midst. And I want that to be a part of every service, a great celebration.
Before this decision was made, I met with each staff member here individually and said, here are the options. And every one of them was excited about the opportunity and committed to it. Cameron was torn. He said, I love Stone Oak. I don't want to leave. And he loves to teach and preach. And he would have had more at-bats, so to speak, in the pulpit here. But, you know, again, as I talk about leadership development and growth, I believe that man's going to be a senior pastor in a church one day. And so this is another step for him to grow and develop. You look at Michael Loudermilk, Jason Upmore, both of those men kind of came through the pipeline in the chair that Cameron is stepping into. So there's intentional things that we do. Will is a gifted pastor. He has a THM, a theological master's from Dallas Seminary. That's a 4-year THM versus a 2-year master's. It's designed to be the senior pastor degree. Will has gifting and desire to be in that role, and this really lets him step into that in a wonderful setup. The first church I pastored was Country Bible Church. It had 70 adults. The facilities were falling apart. We had a Christian school that was in debt. The church had gone through 3 guys in 5 years previous to my coming. It was a train wreck and a disaster. And God was faithful. We watched that church not only grow but thrive. And so when I talk about Stone Oak is set up for success, I believe that. Now, only God, this is God's church. It doesn't belong to me or Will or any of you even. It is God's church, and he will put out a lampstand when he's done with the church, or he will grow it. And I believe Stone Oak is set for success. And Will has a wonderful flock here to surround him, to pray for him, as you've said, to be involved in the ministry. His job description and mine is found in Ephesians 4:11. It's not to do the ministry. It says God gave pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the works of service. His job is to equip you to be multiplying the ministry. So it's not his job. It's all of our jobs to see Stone Oak grow and succeed. Okay. Other questions before we pray for Will and let you guys go eat? I'm sorry, I think the Baptist have beat you to the buffet at this point, but there's still opportunities to get to lunch if nobody has. And I'll stay up here for any additional questions you may have. Yes, Sandy.
I know that the pandemic has made live streaming a norm. Mm-hmm. And even with the pandemic going away, people have gotten so used to staying home mm-hmm. and listening. So how does this pose a challenge to our future goal in expanding the, not just the numbers, but also the giving and how the ministry functions?
Mm-hmm. So right now, the majority of churches, pastors I speak with, I also am on the board at Dallas Theological Seminary. Many of you don't know that. So I'm not only aware of what's happening in San Antonio, but I'm aware of what's happening around the U.S. and the world even, because a couple times a year I'm there and I hear about the state of the church worldwide. The average church right now is seeing about, sometimes on the low end, 50% return to in-person worship. In parts of our country, it's even lower than that. So in some cases, there are churches that are still not open. Wayside is probably seeing around a 65 to 70% return. Stone Oak is actually ahead of the 410 campus because you're a smaller community where people feel closer and safer, possibly. But we're still seeing well over 300 people every Sunday online clicking in and worshiping from their homes. So in terms of, like I mentioned earlier, trying to support two campuses and two series and things, we will only live stream the 410 campus, but we will be recording the Stone Oak campus. So whatever teaching series you're in the midst of here, Ben Streisu's going to have, this is again part of some things we're doing right now. We're setting up cameras and things to capture the Stone Oak service. That will be posted online. So if you're part of Stone Oak and you say, well, I'm traveling and I didn't get to catch Pastor Will's last message, that's going to be on our website. But as far as trying to manage two live stream services, that would just be confusing for people out in the community. So we'll only be live streaming the 410, but the archives will have all of the Stone Oak sermons recorded and online. So if you're part of the Stone Oak congregation, say, I want to stay in the series happening here, that's available to you around Monday afternoon when they historically load the messages online. Did I answer your question? Okay. Ben? Yeah, just the message, not the worship. And part of that is there are copyright laws that prevent us from, you know, archiving. If you go online, you'll notice only the sermons are there. We have what's called a CCL license, which allows us to broadcast or use, but we are under laws that prohibit us from having the worship and things recorded and stored online. Question over here.
Will, this specifically for you, how will you communicate your vision, your need, And what is the frequency potentially of meetings with respect to outreach and needs, things like that?
Well, what was that last part?
What is the communication frequency with respect to the mission, needs, and just other items that'll come up periodically?
Before we had this town hall, I was able to meet with a core leadership team and to speak to them about some aspects of this transition. I couldn't yet speak to them about Cameron yet because he needed to meet with his leaders and his students, and so there were aspects that I couldn't yet communicate. But it's teams like this, this leadership team, and a reach team that will be meeting frequently, very frequently, so we can identify, here are some creative ways we can reach our community for Christ. And so that was one of my final points, is that we're going to need you to be a part of those teams, a reach team. Or you may say, my life group, we want to be a part of a landscaping team. You know, and there's a QR code here on the screen, and then there's a sign over on this back table for you to just to scan that QR code, and that'll take you to a form where you can indicate, this is the part I want to play in this mission. And I think Griff and Denise, those who were mentioned, prayer, because none of this is possible outside of the power of prayer. So we're going to need you to pray. Please pray for me, pray for Kara, pray for the rest of the staff and their families, pray for our leadership team. And I think of 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So we all need to ask, what part, God, do you want me to play in all of this? And so go to that form. You can also do it later today. And we'll send out an email just with a link, you know, if you're not able to. Because we're going to need each one of you. You know, it's my desire to see this congregation grow. Again, not for numbers' sake, as somebody already mentioned, but for the sake of spiritual impact, for depth, and impact in our community for Christ. You know, I want this campus, this congregation, to be the beacon on the hill, shining forth the light of Christ for all to see. And so we're going to need you. And there's also some postcards that we have made. If you want to take home just, you know, a handful of those, and it talks about our worship service times, and take those home and pray about, who's my one? I challenged you all this past summer in our live preaching series. Who is my one that I could reach for Christ? Others, it's two or three, and you just need to cross the street and engage that neighbor. You know, start that spiritual conversation and invite them to join us here at Stone Oak.
Any final questions before we pray for Will and the Stone Oak team? Okay, Doug, Ben, oh wait, over here. There's two questions over here. Well, yeah, but for some who may be harder of hearing.
Not so much a question, but a statement to all of us, right? We have awesome leadership, and God bless you both. Thank you for being, and Will, you and I have had this discussion. You know, the calling that's on you and your family, thank you guys so much for this. And for all of us, you know what? We are the hands and feet, right? So I just say, you know what? Let's come alongside you guys, the Davis family, as well as our Wayside Church. You know what? We'll hold your arms up the same way. We can make a huge difference. But it takes all of us. And I think that this is our core, right, that we have right here in this room. And in saying that, you know what, this hasn't gone without taking it to the Most High. And it wouldn't be here, I truly believe, that it wouldn't be here if that hasn't been divinely spoken to our leadership. And so with that,
you know what? This is awesome. I'm so excited. And I just thank you and say, you know what? Let's all come together and just really, let's get excited about this. God's really moving right here. And I just thank you guys for that so much. So not a question, but just a statement to say, wow, what a privilege to be a part of this. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I just want to add to that. Just thank you so much. And when I look out and I see just my dear friends, you know, I see my family and I see you all, my church family, and we are going to need you. We're going to need you to pray more, to serve more, to give more, to go and tell more right where God has you. And we want to invite you all over again to partner with us in this great vision. So we thank you. Victor?
Yeah. First, I just want to thank this church for having us and for creating an opportunity for us to worship here. You guys are all awesome. What I wanted to talk about is that, are there ways to maybe create a platform or ways of communicating to the people who are participating online, like who watch the services online? And I believe they give the offerings, yes, but are there ways of them to know what's going on? Like with the budget, because they might be having maybe one or two. Because as I say, like we say, like fingers are always not the same. Like we have the little finger, the middle finger is taller than the other. There might be ways of them also participating and just helping and us being just one family, as I believe that they are also part of Wayside Chapel. That is one, I would say. And another thing is that, are there also ways of creating a fundraising platform apart from the offerings? Like, I'm from Africa, and we have, I would say, sometimes hard times in moving on with churches. And we do call it like a fundraising basket, because we don't have a lot of online stuff, but it's a basket whereby everyone comes and drops something. And it just goes straight to the developments of the church. It's totally out of the offerings and everything. So are there ways to come up with something like that? I'm not saying that it has to be done that way, but are there ways of doing something like that just to maybe be like maybe weekly? It could be everyone is donating $10 or something. At the end of the year, it will be an amount of money. So... yeah, I think that's all I would say. And I would also take this opportunity to thank Franklin. Yeah, there was a time my family had a very hard time. And I saw the hand of God through him. My mom was so sick in the hospital. We couldn't take care of hospital bills, but he stepped in and he paid all of it, and I'm just so grateful for that.
Yeah, thank you for that. So basically, earlier in the service, you saw the slide that says five ways to give. That's how you're supporting Wayside Stone Oak. There's an offering box on the back. All those offerings are credited to the Stone Oak campus. Your online giving, as you already heard, we're changing the buttons so you can click on specifically Stone Oak if you're part here. Just make sure, talk to Will. rather than having 200 people inundate Kevin, just Will take the list and coordinate with Kevin to make sure that the giving is accurate in terms. We've already done that, but we'll go back and check it again. But you have the ability to already do that. Remember, there is a budget of over $700,000 that you have been faithfully supporting for Stone Oak. And as I already articulated, there's a number of other budgetary items that are not included in that figure that are direct ministries of Stone Oak. I know many of you have the same heart for world missions, and that's being supported through the overall ministry of Wayside Chapel, not just through the Stone Oak budget being debited. That's not carried as a category in the other support salaries. So rather than setting up a multiplicity of outside fundraising, we're not going to do that because there's already the ways to do exactly what you've articulated. We're supporting Stone Oak through your giving. And so anything above and beyond that comes in, as I mentioned, will be escrowed for the future. So that's available as well. All right, we're going to pray, and I'll stay afterwards. I'm going to have the Stone Oak team come up here. Kara, if you'll come up with your husband, Franklin, and Bill Mitchell, the chairman of our elder board, is here as well. Franklin is one of the elders, and Bill is the chairman of our board. Let's just pray for this team, and y'all continue to pray daily, as I know you do already for your team. You can come on in here, Doug. Doug's ordination council is this Tuesday night with the elders, so pray for this man. Because he'll be before the Board of Elders. He's already gone before the pastoral team. The elders are easier than the pastors. Yeah. So you've already crossed the Rubicon. You're all right. You've gone through the hardest part. Yeah. But pray for him Tuesday night. We'll be finalizing his kind of exam to make sure that he's ready to have the title of Reverend, which I think you are. We wouldn't have you here if that was the right Reverend. No, that's a different denomination. Yeah, there is one they call him the right Reverend, but that's not you. All right, so let's just pray for your team here at Stone Oak. Gracious God, we thank you for these men and women that you have called and that you have equipped. Lord, you tell us in your word that if we lack wisdom to ask, and you'll give it in abundance. And Lord, there is so much ahead that requires wisdom. And you, Holy Spirit, who are the author of your word and also the leader for us as believers, that you will give to Will and the rest of this team what they need. And God, we thank you that part of what they need has already been given. As I look out at the faces of the men and women, boys and girls who are here, this is your flock, God, that you've entrusted to this overseer and this team to oversee. And so we thank you for the spiritual gifts you've given to the men and women in this room and those who are a part of Stone Oak that aren't here right now. And so we pray that each one would step up and use those spiritual gifts you've given to them. Would they be an active part of the body as they have been in the past, but even more so, God, as they look to the future and they have the opportunity just to see Stone Oak go to the next level. We pray, God, you would just bless this church. This physical location we know is not the church, but the body is. But we pray, God, you would fill this room with your people. We pray it would go to two services very quickly and that they would, again, grow beyond that. And so, God, we just commit Wayside Stone Oak to you. We thank you for the life change and ministry that's happened here over the last 5 years, and we look forward to what you're going to do in and through this church and in and through this team in the years ahead. So we commit them to you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I bless y'all. Thank you again for being here. We'll stay after